It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland, the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And our last show of 2017, Daniel.
Yes, how are you, Mark?
Really good. Good. How are you? But that's not the question this week. It's
who are you?
Who are you? Now, you're getting this from Alice in Wonderland.
Well, it just came to mind as we were saying.
The Who song.
The Who song.
Who are you? Who? And I think it's been used in a lot of commercials and TV shows. But the importance of relationships, so important as we end this year and get ready for a new one. You were saying before we went on the air, a lot of people who you see who struggle with anxiety and depression, a real common denominator is that a lot of them don't have friends. And so it's important.
And particularly... It's sad when or troubling when they don't have friends, and these are Christian people, and they may be a part of a church, or maybe they haven't found a church. But I see a lot of people who are in a church and don't feel like it's family, and but hopefully we got some pointers toward the end of the show. We're going to talk a little bit about the problem to begin with, and the pointers at the end of the show, and just there are some really practical ways to get. To get in. You got to get your foot in the door and kind of get moving. You know, it's like it takes a lot more effort to get moving on a lot of things in life than it does to actually follow through once you're kind of engaged.
A lot easier for God to direct a moving stone than one that's just sitting there.
Yes, yeah. That's really true. That's really true. I wanted to talk a little bit about relationships. Who are you? The importance of relationships. And I've said before on previous shows a number of times, it's kind of a motto of mine or a locution, you are who you are in relationships. And this kind of goes against the grain of our kind of individualism, where we have the individualism has us distancing in order to be. And that is, when I say be, I mean to kind of isolate and articulate myself. We want to get away from people and get out by ourselves and kind of, you know, figure out who we are. I think it was Peck. I can't remember his first name, but
M. Scott Peck.
Yeah, Scott Peck. Yeah. That's right. Who was talking about the you that evolves in isolation is not the you that evolves in or develops in relationship. So it's a misconception to think that I can go off on a desert island by myself and kind of become a person and then come back into society and fit in. It doesn't work that way. So I say you are who you are in relationships. And as I say, it cuts against the grain of our individualism because we a lot of times we see the need of other people as a weakness, but we're hardwired for relationship. And so I say we have individually individualism has us distancing from one another in order to be. But the thing about distancing is you don't really become. You're like a seed set up on a shelf somewhere, and what's the point? If you can imagine, you know, I was giving the illustration to a person the other day of an apple seed or something, and you know, you kind of lay it on the shelf there, and what good? What purpose does it serve at all? The effective relationship. More than the sum of the parts. You know, the seed that we have on the shelf, let's take it out and put it in the ground, and something happens to the hard casing and it breaks apart, and then what's in the seed comes out and it becomes much greater than the seed. In fact, it reproduces many, many seeds. Well, I'm always reminded of that kind of the analogy that Christ was talking about the faith being likened to a mustard seed. And you know, this is very, very tiny seed, but it grows into a significantly large tree. Is this the same? You can take it as individuals. You know, an individual may not feel like a very important person or having value, but if I plug into relationships, the end result of that is greater than the sum of the parts, whereas in contrast, the effect of isolation is irrelevance. You know, that seed sitting on a shelf has no meaning. It doesn't have any purpose or relevance.
And the Bible uses the analogy of the body mm-hmm. of Christ, and that's mm-hmm. you think that's pretty ingenious.
Well, yeah, I think that's very, very insightful. Which, you know, when you see things like that in the Bible, give me just added confidence that it's the Word of God.
Absolutely.
Because there's something amazing about ingenious about likening relationships or our relationship to each other as the human body, and so that's done repeatedly through Scripture. And I say it's ingenious if it's not actually an ontological parallel. That is, do relationships between people really, is it really a body? And of course, we're taught in Scripture about, in the New Testament, about how, and there are parallels that, you know, Israel is, you know, seen as, in a sense, as a body, you know, a nation of body, a temple of living stones, mm-hmm. and in the Scripture in the mm-hmm. New Testament, we're talking about the body of Christ, and you know, if we think of that, carry that through, the idea of the body, you think of that, if it's true that relationships work like a real body, then isolation is a kind of starvation, and so I see a lot of people again in counseling who are kind of starved. For a lot of things, you could take the analogy I've had used of if a finger is separated from my hand. Now I don't have a finger separated from my hand, but I've got this thing going on lately where pinched nerve or something like that, and I can wake up in the middle of the night and it feels like my hand is just throbbing because the circulation is it's not, you know, poor circulation. Well, you know, you think of a finger taken off, and it's just going to – there's no life there. There's nothing pumping through it. So, you know, the what I'm driving at is pretty clear here, that in order to have the life, the life of Christ, in order to have life, we have to be plugged into kind of the system. You know, the Scripture, Jesus says, except a seed fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Of course, we think of that. He's talking about his death and resurrection, but it goes beyond that because the disciples gave their lives, and Paul speaks about, you know, death working in us, but life working in you. And as individuals, we can see again the analogy of my little analogy of the seedling on the shelf. You know, unless my life is invested somewhere, it's irrelevant. And so, not simply does this seed abide alone, but the seed is unrealized, and it's just frankly worthless. And you can, I think a lot of times people feel worthless when they're not plugged into.
Right.
So we die in one sense, the seed put in the ground dies in a certain sense, but in another sense, it's resurrected in new life. And so, and that is an image that we have all through Scripture, and pointing to the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of the baptized believer, mm-hmm. risen in newness mm-hmm. of life. Mm-hmm. There's death and newness of life. So we have these kind of these patterns that are that we're very familiar with, and we need to. I'm just suggesting that we take these more literally than just analogies. So you know, we invest ourselves in kind of the soil of community. And this hard casing that's around me that actually is something that gets thicker in isolation and individualism and separation from people. And that hard casing becomes soft and breaks apart. And life springs forth. We each have a potential within ourselves that I think a lot of times people don't recognize. Certainly there's a deposit of God in every believer. And so many people I talk to, I've talked to people in my counseling practice for the past 20 some years. And before that, as a voc rehab counselor, I talked to a lot of people who, they had lost their income and they were feeling pretty disconnected. And yet you could find in any person's life, in each one of these people, you could find something that they brought to the table themselves that a lot of times they didn't realize they had. So they had things to, gifts that they could mm-hmm. you know, could even turn into vocations. But the point was that they didn't realize that they couldn't see it until they were, until somebody helped point it out to them, which is what relationships tend to do.
But you're also saying you got to watch out because sometimes loneliness can become almost kind of a form of solace for a lot of people. That's yeah, how they yeah. only, that's the only way they feel comfortable.
Yeah, it becomes circular mm-hmm. because, which is one of the reasons why we don't get into relationships. So I talk to people and they're lonely, they're discouraged, and they'll say to me,
but they like
"I don't have any friends."
But they kind of like it that way.
Yeah, or maybe possibly they don't like it that way. But it's become a solace. Right. It's become a kind of a habit. It's a familiar place, and it fits their personality. And we've talked about personality before, but an example of how that pain might fit a personality would be in, you know, the victim role that we hear so much about, or the person who's recluse, or the person who's can become paranoid. And we can all become paranoid if we isolate ourselves enough. So these things become familiar. And we kind of find, you know, the more we isolate from people, the more we fear people, the more we distrust people. And then it becomes circular and almost self-fulfilling because mm-hmm. our personality then can be a prescription for increasing various degrees of isolation and loneliness. So around and around we go. Fear of relationship can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. So you've got pain and loneliness, and that can become a solace and a self-fulfilling prophecy. And a fear of relationship can become a self-fulfilling prophecy because I think certainly as we become more isolated out of fear, that is, when we talk about fear, lack of value, lack of control, lack of power, lack of acceptance, our world becomes smaller and more egocentric. You know, the smaller my world is when I'm talking to people about your world is too small, or I'm reminding myself my world is too small, I really mean that there's not room for anybody else in there. It becomes egocentric and becomes a homeostasis. Again, it's the place that I begin to feel more familiar with. And so I just habitually return back there. And then, you know, what happens is the social skills that I had, I lose, because it's use it or lose it. And the change gradient becomes steeper and steeper. And I mean, the challenge to become relational once we start to withdraw just becomes more and more difficult. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the core of the problem. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times people need help, need a shove, need some suggestions, some insights into, you know, how can I turn that around, knowing that there's part of me that doesn't really want to. It's not going to feel comfortable. It's not going to feel natural. But the alternative is not good.
Well, maybe people are listening today and they can tell that they are stuck in an isolated kind of lifestyle, or maybe they know somebody who really is struggling and that this is a real common problem. And if people need help, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. I have, of course, two offices, one in Kirkland, one in Edmonds. And these shows that we do on the radio are podcasted at thebiblebasedcounselor.com.
And Bible people can also email you there, too.
People also email me through that. So there are a lot of ways to get a hold of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast again this week, looking at who are you and how important it is to be in relationship if you're going to have a sound mind. We'll return with maybe some solutions here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland on the road with the Sound Mind man with us today, Daniel Pryor, our last show of 2017, getting ready for 2018.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is a good kind of New Year's resolution, kind of before the first of the year, is to have maybe more friends.
Yeah, to get more involved, to be more relational and less isolated.
That's going to help your mindset.
It is, and I remind people, again, the name of the show is Sound Mind, and of course, most of our topics are on mental health. A good many of them are on mental health because that's my vocation. That's how I help people. But Sound Mind is actually more broad than that, and relationship is a really huge part of having a sound mind. And a mindset that's not afraid, not discouraged, not anxious, but sound and faith-based mindset.
What about what is the place of like personality disorders, but just a personality types fit into this? Because mm-hmm. some people have the sanguine, you know, who is the kind of the life of the party, mm-hmm. you know, extrovert versus introvert. Mm-hmm. Both can have friends though. An introvert can mm-hmm. not yeah. maybe doesn't feel comfortable in large settings, likes more one, mm-hmm. but they still would like one-on-one friendships. Both can have friendships.
Yeah, and as I kind of was going down that path before the break, where our personality kind of becomes a circular thing. It's push me, pull you. We begin to develop personality as a defense mechanism from moment one in our life, trying to solicit security and safety and affection from this new and strange environment. And our personality just really grows from there. And by extension, it becomes a pretty complex defense mechanism. So you find all kinds of, well, they have the personality disorders, which, you know, as I've explained to people before, I don't really think in terms of personality disorders, but I think in terms of disordered personality, which includes all of us. So we can all be more or less wrapped around our defense mechanisms, need for security and safety, and that the need for security and safety becomes primary in everything we do in all of our relationships and probably lack of relationships. But we can change our personality, but it requires relationships to change our personality. And kind of where the rock and the hard place is that the more disordered my personality is, the less I want relationships, but the more I need relationships. So we really need maybe some hand holding and, you know, going at the shallow end of the pool and working our way toward the deep end, right. Something like that. But you have to get started. You can't, the alternative, sitting on the sidelines, you only become increasingly irrelevant. So you have to do something to get into relationship and discover that part of you that you're probably not the person that's going to see it. You know, how many times have you been complimented on something that you did when you didn't realize you did a good job or when you didn't think you did that good of a job, and other people say, oh, I thought it was wonderful. In relationships, we become the person, our full potential. Looking at a scripture here.
Psalm 68:6.
Yeah, it says, that God puts the solitary in families. And why does God put us in families? I used to think for a long time that that was just because to simplify things, to get people organized, everybody's in a family, and everybody feels cozy. But there's something else that happens in the relationship. Is that, you know, kind of the revelation of Christ happens in the context of his body. We don't isolate ourselves off somewhere and really learn about God. You know, I know Paul was on the backside of the desert for a while, but that's not where he stayed.
Right.
It's relationships. He puts the family, solitary in families because that's where growth and that's where welfare take place. But the difficulty is, as we've talked about the different personalities, we don't always want to be in families. We get to the place where we're isolated or because of the way we've grown up, our family of origin or experiences in life.
Maybe it was bad.
Yeah.
Got a bad, left a bad taste in our mouth.
Yeah. So
people hurt.
Kind of like the turtle coming out of the shell and every time you come out, you know, you whop him, it's like we go back in our turtle shell and we just kind of stay there. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to come out, but that's... again, that's where the medicine is. Personality. What is personality, and why do we have to change it? Well, so this is what we're talking about. The reason I need to change my personality is because personalities are always a defense mechanism. Now, some defense mechanisms, or you could call them hiding places. Some are more pleasant and advantageous, more socially correct than others. You would say a person who gets along well with people or is in charge of the company or, you'd say that person's personality has been advantageous.
Like a type A person.
Yeah. So other people's personalities, they're also defense mechanisms and hiding places. they're less advantageous and they're less socially acceptable, like the paranoid, dependent,
recluse,
these kinds of different,
person extreme, who only likes. Extremely. How about like people who only like a lot of people? They swear off people, but they love their animals.
Yeah,
so they
yeah.
have tons of cats and dogs, and that's the only people they feel like they can trust. But those aren't people.
No, that it's like cut. You know what we recognize that in that quickly is it's like accepting me at face value, whether it's my dog or my cat or my horse or whatever. They accept you at face value. I have a daughter who's a zookeeper, and you know she loves her animals because they love her.
Right.
You know, now, which
that's
is great.
Okay. That's okay.
Yeah, but when
in fact I'm mistrustful of somebody who does not like animals.
Yeah, when it's at the expense of other relationships, that's when it's difficult. Just while we're on that scenic route, sometimes I have suggested animals for children who need to learn empathy or something like that, you know, something to kind of a starting place. And there can be healing in that.
Well,
that can be
the whole starting thing of the place. Therapy dog or the horse whisperer and all this stuff. Yeah. So there is something that, but those are usually people who, again, have very damaged backgrounds. Yeah. And an animal is a trusted first starting point.
It's a starting point.
Come out of the shell.
It's a starting point, but it's a starting point. But we need to continue beyond that. Mm. You can't develop as a person just with relationships with non-persons.
Right.
You know, so there's something that relating in depth, getting involved, shapes the image of God in us. It's our humanness. That's I was thinking about kind of the Christmas time. There are stories about this and. Some of them are kind of a little bit somewhat exaggerated and then some downplay it. But in the First World War in 1914, there was this Christmas in that 1914 Christmas where there were places along the battle lines between the British and the Germans where events took place where the soldiers actually came out of their trenches and here and there, there were actually Christmas celebrations that went on for some days. You know, it started
between the enemies.
There are stories of, you know, the British British soldiers giving the German soldiers haircuts, or sharing songs, things like that, that happened in some places between Christmas and New Year's. Hmm. I don't think it went over well with the commanding officers.
No.
but the thing is that once, again, the point being that the relationship between human beings, that's where our humanness is. You know, if you soldiers on, facing each other in battle, kind of lose their humanness. They really do. Mm. There's a thing in battle that you don't look into the eye of the enemy. Because you'll humanize them, and then that won't be advantageous, you know, for you. So, but there's something about humans together, people come together, and as I said early in the show, the effect is greater than the sum of the parts, and that's where our humanness is. I think that's why God puts the solitary in families. I think that's why, you know, Christ is revealed in his body. I say here, becoming more like Christ, Christ's likeness is revealed in his many-membered body. You know, what is Christ like? Well, it's hard to know that if I isolate myself off away from people, but when I get around people and we start having relationship, what comes out of that is Christ's likeness, primarily in the body of Christ, even with non-believers, if they come together, what comes out of that, any good that comes out of that is something of God.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of borrowing.
Well, you say this here, the body of Christ is where the Christian finds himself or herself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's pretty all-inclusive.
Absolutely. In relationships, we find ourselves, and in the body of Christ, we find ourselves as God intended us to be. Partaking of Christ means partaking of the body, to be in the image of God, as I've said so many times before, is to be eminently, intimately relational.
Mm-hmm.
Again, except a grain falls into the ground, a grain of wheat, Jesus said, it abides alone. If it doesn't die, it abides alone. How do we die? Well, we get into relationships, and that part that's, you know, the selfishness, the, you know, the kind of the fear that, well, if I get in with people and they don't know exactly who I am or exactly who I want to be and they misunderstand me, wouldn't that be a catastrophe? Wouldn't I kind of lose, you know? No, it doesn't work that way. We get into relationships and we discover who we are. Who are we? Who are you? You are who you are in relationships. So what's holding you back from commitment? What we all have different reasons that we're not stepping up and getting involved in the church. There are lots of ways that you can get involved. My wife and I were at a big church where we were strangers some years ago and didn't know how to get connected. And there was a building program that came up. So I put on my tool belt and just like that.
There you go.
I learned people's names. I learned about their families.
That's a start.
You know, another person was going to be an usher. There are lots of ways that you can get
join
your foot
choir.
In the door.
That's what Jenny and I always do. Join the choir.
Yeah. What can you bring? What do you, everybody has something that they bring. And so this show is an encouragement to take what you have, take your gift that is within you, and you know, break the ice. Get your get into the shallow end. You know, whatever. Get do something. Do what you can do, and let this year, maybe this can be your year to start getting involved and find some real personal development and inner healing in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Maybe join a small group at your church if you're involved in a large church.
Certainly.
We go to a pretty small church already, but we're also in small groups. So there's just different levels of relationship you can have right there
right,
in your own church.
Right, and that's church. What those are for, exactly.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, if people are struggling, they need that boost, they need some coaching on how to maybe join a church in a more significant way, or whatever's ailing you in the new year, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 778-6169, two offices, Kirkland and Edmonds. These shows are podcasted at BibleBasedCounselor.com, and people email me through that address as well.
BibleBasedCounselor.com. Okay, so another great show and a great 2017. Looking forward to a great 2018 and more Sound
Amen.
Mind broadcasts with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.